Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is back in the saddle, and I know he's doing well because he's going to be traveling later this week, so praise God. Jesse, today's show, I love it because we're going to go to the top doctor in America, in the world, regarding the COVID vaccines, so-called vaccines, and why they're not working. We're going to have our good friend Mike Voris on later in the show. We've got Mark Padilla coming on, who's got a new show here at Virgin Most Powerful. He's going to talk about the 40-hour devotion to the Blessed Sacrament that's starting up. And we'd love to see that. We're also going to have a very interesting article, Innocent as Serpents, Wise as Doves, America's Church Leaders and the COVID Vaccine Betrayal. Jesse, that's a great article from LifeSite News. Also, I just wanted to mention this sound clip that we're going to be playing from Dr. Peter McClark. He's going to give you the five myths of COVID-19. And like I said, he's the top of the food chain when it comes to doctors to know about this virus. So without any further ado, Jess, let's bring in some soul food because these readings this week have been just fantastic.
Yeah, Terry, let me just mention today's the birthday.
Happy birthday, Blessed Mother.
Yes, that's exactly
it. I forgot
it.
To say that, yeah.
The Thanks, Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Virgin Most Powerful, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. This is also the month. September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. We remember Our Lady's sufferings and her broken heart as she watched her son ridiculed, mocked, and put to death unjustly. She's our model for uniting our suffering to Christ and the cross. Let's go now into today's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Today's gospel is Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 23. It's rather long. Mm-hmm. I just want to get into it. Talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And St. Matthew traces it all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to the first patriarch. I want to just point out a few little things in this whole genealogy. It's worth reading. But let me jump into verse 18 where it talks about the word betrothed, because a lot of people say, well, what does that mean? Okay? Mm-hmm. In verse 18 where it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Betrothal in the ancient Jewish world was unlike modern day engagements. It was a temporary period for up to 1 year between the covenant of marriage itself. That's the time when the spouses lived together, and because couples were legally married during the intervening phase, this betrothal phase, it could only be terminated by death or divorce. Also, let's take a look at verse 19 where it says, this is huge, where it says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to send her away quietly. This is the meat of what I want to say. What does it mean? Well, first of all, just man means a righteous man. It means Joseph had a sterling moral character. He obeyed the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, unabashedly. But what does it mean that he didn't want to put her to shame and simply he just wanted to send her away? In the Catholic tradition, there's three possible interpretations to explain why St. Joseph resolved to end this betrothal with Mary. The first one is called the suspicion theory, okay? Some people believe that Joseph suspected Mary of adultery when he discovered her pregnancy. And so Joseph thus intended to pursue a divorce in accord with Deuteronomy 24:1-4 until the angel revealed to Joseph, no, it wasn't adultery. It was the miraculous cause of the conception by the Holy Spirit. So this is why Joseph is said to be righteous, because he shuns immorality and directs his life by the law of God. Some of the proponents of this suspicion theory are St. Justin Martyr, St. John Chrysostom, and St. Augustine. Next, you have the perplexity theory. Some people hold that Joseph found the situation of Mary's pregnancy inexplicable, and so divorce seemed to be his only option, and yet he wished to do this quietly, for he could not bring himself to believe that Mary had been unfaithful. Joseph is said to be righteous because he lives by the law of God and judges Mary's situation with the utmost charity. And so the main proponent of this view is St. Jerome, whose exegesis is found in the medieval Catholic Vulgate. Then you have the third theory amongst some of the church fathers. It's called the reverential theory. Others hold that St. Joseph knew the miraculous cause of Mary's pregnancy from the beginning. That is, he was made aware that the child was conceived of the Holy Spirit, as it says in verse 118. So faced with this, Joseph considered himself unworthy to be involved in the Lord's work, and his decision to separate himself from Mary quietly was a discretionary measure to keep the secret of the mystery of her virgin birth within her. But when you read this, the angel confirms what Joseph had already known and urges him to set aside pious fears that would lead him away from his vocation to be the legal father of the Messiah. This is why Joseph is said to be righteous, because of his deep humility and his reverence for the miracle, the miraculous work of God. And again, proponents of this view are St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Thomas of Aquinas. In verse 20, again, the angel's message is urgent, and Joseph listens to the angel's message and believes. The last thing I'll say about St. Joseph, something kind of very interesting, is that Joseph is a descendant of King David. This is where Christ gets his kingly pedigree. And he imparts to Jesus, by patriarchal authority, his royal rights of inheritance to King David. Something about St. Joseph in the New Testament and Joseph in the Old Testament, both of them share the same name. Both have fathers named Jacob. God spoke to both Josephs through dreams. Both Josephs in the Old and New Testament were called righteous and chaste. And both Josephs in the Old and New Testament were saved, or they saved their families by bringing them to Egypt. Terry, take it away.
Wow, let's bring in the smartest guy into the room right now. Okay, Jess, that was good exegesis again. St. Joseph, don't forget, folks, we have that conference on the 18th with Father Charles Murr, Father Stephen Lewandowski, and my wife, Mary Danielle. True devotion to St. Joseph. Great conference. The way to register is just call 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org. Bishop Sheen's topic is prayer. I love when he says, some people look on prayer like an aviator looks on a parachute. He hopes he doesn't have to use it. Well, obviously we have to use prayer. So here's what he said. All we need to do is to voice these two petitions. Dear Lord, illumine my intellect to see the truth and give me the strength to follow it. Yes, I'm not going to continue. That's what we're doing. Intellect, find truth, and follow it.
By the way, the only way you can illumine your intellect, you have to live in a state of grace.
Yep.
You must be a person of faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you must have a prayer life, because prayer is what gives you, it takes custody of your intellect, it illuminates your intellect with the Word of God. And so again, it's living the Catholic faith which illuminates the intellect. That's why so many people, Terry, their intellects are darkened, because they don't live the Catholic faith.
Yeah. And that's why, here it is, we said last Friday was First Friday, get to confession, get to Holy Mass, often pray your rosary, read your Bible. Why do we say this? These are called holy habits. Because when you have holy habits, just look at it on a natural level. Mm-hmm. Jess, you're a boxer. You got the habit to be in good shape by running, by exercising, by doing things that you need to do to have the fundamentals of boxing and to do them well. Well, on the spiritual life, it's habits. I don't even think now, Jesse, it's that a bit. For me to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to say my prayers, I look forward to it, okay? Because I actually am benefiting by that. I pray these spiritual warfare prayers for my family. I say prayers for my relatives, my deceased relatives. I mean, I look at this as like I water the front lawn, okay? It's a habit. And if you don't do it, then it's hard to live in that state of grace without prayer. That's the bottom line.
I love that. Holy habits. That's perfect. That's a perfect way to describe a life of virtue.
Yeah. That's it. Hey, do we have Mark Padilla on? I asked him to call in. He's going to have... Not yet. Okay, then let's just move on. Jess, one more thing I want to mention. In Mexico, we had the Supreme Court, because you've got Mexican descent. I don't, but I think of Mexico as one of the most Catholic countries.
Yeah, but you work all around them, nothing but Mexicans.
I have my neighbors, everybody's Mexican, right. I'm built like a Mexican. I'm 5'5". Sorry, but a lot of my Mexican friends are short like me. Just, they did something terrible. The Supreme Court is allowing abortion. And what's interesting is that a big 7.0 earthquake just happened to take place right after that. Is there a connection? Jesse, Doesn't St. Thomas Aquinas talk about the natural calamities and tying it into spiritual? Like, for example, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, wasn't there a terrible earthquake? See, when I think our Lord does, there is a connection, is what I'm saying. The fathers talk about that.
Yeah, Terry, St. Augustine, St. Thomas of Aquinas, looking at what St. Paul says, I think it's in Romans chapter 8, where they talk about the birth pangs, the labor pains that the earth is going through. The fathers of the church and the scholastics say this is as a result of original sin and actual sin upon the earth. Original and actual sin doesn't only affect human beings. It also affects the cosmos, the cosmology. Yep. You don't believe it? Just take a look at when Jesus Christ died on the cross. The cosmos screamed out in pain and in horror of what was. So again, what you're talking about is strictly
biblical
teaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, Jess, this article, Innocent as Serpents, Wise as Doves, America's Church Leaders and COVID Vaccine Betrayal. What's the betrayal? We're going to talk more about that. And don't forget, we've got the top of the food chain doctor coming on later in the third segment. He's going to blow you away with 5 myths about the COVID vaccine. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. What do we say? Yeah, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back, family. Stay with us.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Before we get into this article I promised I'd get into, Mark Padilla, who's got a new show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on Mondays right after the Terry and Jesse Show, has some good news to share with us about the 40-hour devotion. Mark, are you with us?
Hey, Terry. Hey, Jesse. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing great.
Bless, brother. Talk to us about the devotion.
Yes.
Talk to us, bro.
Well, so, you know, today is the birthday of Mary.
Right.
Amen.
The 250th anniversary of the founding of Mission San Gabriel here.
Good.
And the San Gabriel. And so today, Archbishop Jose Gomez will be there at 7 o'clock for a ceremony. And then starting tomorrow, and between the opening of the Jubilee doors, because he's proclaimed this because of the 250th anniversary, a Jubilee year here in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
So the way he's kicking that off is by doing a 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration starting tomorrow at 6 in the evening. And it will go through Saturday the 11th.
Awesome.
At 10 a.m. So that's amazing. You know, for all the things that we say, well, the bishops don't do this or the bishops don't do that, here we have the president of the USCCB and the largest Catholic archdiocese in the nation saying, no, we're going to kick off this Jubilee.
I love it.
With 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration.
That's what we need. More of it. Yeah.
Praise God.
That's great.
Praise God.
Yeah. And that's amazing. You know, and he's what he's saying, and he's really kind of working this. He's saying, you know, it was the founding of Mission San Gabriel that led to Catholicism in this area. It was the seeds of Catholicism for the entire Los Angeles region. And so that's a beautiful thing. And if you think about it, of course, it has to be the Archangel Gabriel that is the proclaimer, right? So
San
Gabriel, the mission here, and he proclaims. And, you know, almost 10 years to a date almost is when we had the founding of what we now call Los Angeles. But it was really Our Lady, Queen of the Angels.
That's the original.
But of course, Angel Gabriel comes first, proclaims the Mary, and then we get this great metropolis of Los Angeles named after Our Lady.
Awesome. Mm. Hey, Mark, let me just shift gears for a second to your show that you just started on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Tell us a little bit of what you're doing on Mondays right after the Terry and Jesse Show.
So the name of our show is Night Moves, and that's spelled with a K. And what we focus on are what the Knights of Columbus do, particularly the Knights, because we're Knights. I know Terry.
Absolutely.
And Jesse, so am I.
You're a Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like the good works we do, you know. And us men, we don't like to say, you know, well, we do this or that. And, of course, we need to be humble. But here's a forum where we say, these are the great things we do. You know, this is what we do at the council level, at the local church level. This is what we do nationwide. You know, for example, you know, we've talked about the program that we have called the Ultrasound Initiative.
Yeah.
And here in California, we've placed 100 ultrasounds. Now it's more. I think it's like 112.
That's saving lives, brother.
It totally does. And it happens at the council level. It happens at the church level.
Good.
It's just men doing whatever they do to raise funds. Like at my humble parish in San Gabriel, the other parish in San Gabriel, St. Anthony's, what do? We sell tamales and tacos and menudo and a little part
that never takes.
We raise funds to help to purchase this ultrasound machine, which saves lives. I'll tell you, all the uproar of what's going on in Texas with the heartbeat bill,
yes.
I think most of the people don't know that's a baby inside of a woman. They've been misled to think that that's just a clump of cells.
Yeah.
And it's not just a clump of cells. That's a baby. And
amen, brother.
That. We can go and look at an ultrasound, and that's what our brother knights are doing.
God,
you know?
That's great.
And so that's what we're after. That's what we're doing. And so for Night Moves, we just want to interview men that are doing good work.
That's great.
Because
that's a good name, Night Moves. I like that. Catchy.
Yeah. We're the humble show here. We're not high theological Terry and Jesse show. You know, we're just kind of like men doing, what are the men?
Good.
What can we have men do?
Yeah.
You're
highlighting men doing spiritual and corporal works of mercy, which is amazing.
Yep.
Guys need to hear that.
Yeah, they got to join. They got to be part of it. So,
yep.
Mark, that show starts. Yep. It's been already going, but it's on every Monday at 12 noon, right after the Terry and Jesse show. So I would encourage our listeners, go to vmpr.org. You can listen to all the podcasts of the shows that just started. And Mark Padilla, I want to thank you for giving us the good news about the 40-hour devotion and Our Lady and the connection with Our Lady of the Eucharist. I love it all, Mark. Thanks so much.
Yeah, just a real quick note. So this 40 hours of adoration are throughout the Archdiocese.
Right, not just at San Gabriel. No, I get it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the 20 Jubilee doors. So it's Santa Barbara Missions, the old Mission Santa Ynez, Santa Buenaventura,
yes.
St. Mary Magdalene in Camarillo, St. Joseph of the Work of Winnetka. So go to forwardinmission.com.
Yeah.
If you're in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles or close to it, you can see and sign up for an hour of adoration.
Oh, but man, that's important.
You've got to be involved with this.
Amen. Mark Padilla, thanks again for all you do, brother. Keep it up.
Mark's
all right,
man.
Brother.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Jesse, let's continue this article that we're going to talk about. Let's take the Dr. Peter and put it on for tomorrow because we want to take this article needs time for justice. So let's go ahead.
I agree. Yeah. Terry, a LifeSite News gave us an article. It's called Innocent as Serpents, Wise as Doves.
Yep.
It says talks about America's church leaders and the COVID vaccine betrayal.
Yeah.
This is painful, but I'm glad that LifeSite News has the
courage
to put something like this out. It says, after originally protesting the abortion link of the COVID-19 vaccines, the U.S. bishops have actually spun around, made an about-face to make themselves now not critics, but enforcers of coercive vaccination using vaccines that once upon a time, Terry, they denounced as immoral not even 2 years ago.
Uncle.
And so...
twist my arm, man.
Yeah, the Democrats put them in an arm bar and they just says, okay, we give up.
Exactly.
Now, there's a young guy that influenced this article. His name's Joshua Charles. He's a former White House speechwriter for Vice President Mike Pence.
Right.
He's a best-selling author, historian, and a columnist, and he's also a ghostwriter. He worked in the White House, and what he saw, Terry, I hate to say it, it disgusted him.
Oh,
and he writes about it here because he saw the bishops caving into politics.
Scandal, I think. That's all.
Yeah. So Joshua Charles did the world and the church a service by going public with his experience in the White House under Trump and Pence. Because regarding the abortion links of the COVID-19, and I'll put this in perspective, what he saw in the White House, he saw the way the church caved into politics and didn't advance the gospel. What he saw was this. After China's engineered bug escaped the Wuhan lab, China locked down the domestic travel, even wielding sick people to die in their homes. The Communist Party decided China would not suffer alone, so it started sending flights of infected people from Wuhan all over the world. In a massive what we could call a biological Pearl Harbor sneak attack that military historians will point to with great admiration in the future. But from the point of view of advancing Red China's power, this was brilliant what they did.
Yep.
And so you have now Christians dying alone and being burned like abandoned pets. What do I mean? With this Wuhan spread panic, Chinese cheap laborers had provided COVID as far as Italy, whose hospitals were completely overrun in the early 2020, and there was thousands of elderly Italians who died alone. I would dare say most of them being Catholics.
Of course.
Without family goodbyes or last sacraments from the imported Chinese Wuhan virus. Then you have the media hype about this tragic result of Chinese communist callousness, and they used it to whip up hysteria. What do I mean? Democrats pivoted from denouncing Trump's xenophobic travel ban and leading trips to their local Chinatowns to demanding lockdowns and planning what we call the Great Reset, which is an attack on property rights and political freedom. That's where we're at right now, Terry.
Right. And Jesse, with this modest death statistics didn't provide a sufficient pretext for the emergency, powers for governors radically loosened vote security. Blue state officials acted quickly. Now, these are just the facts. I'm not going politics here. This is just the facts. For instance, by dumping hundreds of COVID patients on nursing homes to carry off thousands of grandmas and veterans and silence dissent from the pandemic, a panic. Now, this happened virtually every large state that Democrats ran. Jesse, just the facts. Look at New York, California, Michigan, New Jersey, Connecticut, and none run by the Republicans. Isn't that interesting? So, yes, it was coordinated and intentional. And the party of the partial birth abortion wasn't squeamish about euthanasia by COVID, denying Christian burials. I remember that. Thousands of Americans from nursing homes were mass incinerated like abandoned pets. Sorry, Jesse, but that's sick. Sick.
Well, Terry, they're the party of euthanasia, the party of abortion. They're the party of the culture of death. So this doesn't surprise me, but they finally found a way to weaponize medicine.
Yeah.
Terry, this is many good doctors that are not paid by the government dole are calling this a bioweapon that the Chinese have been. They've
Without
been planning this
a
for
shot.
A long time, Terry.
Of course.
And so the Democrats have already figured out how to make this the use of COVID political.
Right.
But what if they do? They crash Trump's great economy. They justify massive media censorship if you speak out against it on social media. And they stole the 2020 election via massive mail-in balloting. So, sure, it's kind of sad that all those old people had to die, but the Democrats couldn't afford to be sentimental. And in any case, Joe Biden's chief advisor, Ezekiel Emanuel, had already made clear that nobody really needs to live past the age of 70.
And never let a crisis go to waste. Remember, Ryan? Oh, my God.
His brother said that.
Yes, his brother said that years ago.
This is why Ezekiel Emanuel calls for withholding life-saving medicine for people.
I'm almost there, Jess.
Yeah, the age. I'm 10 years away. And so, again, Terry, this is the party that believes that in Mother Earth, believes in the Green New Deal, believes in global warming and all that climate change to the exclusion of human beings. They don't like human beings on the planet. This is why they promote abortion for the preborn and euthanasia for the longborn.
Yeah. And Jesse, when we come back, I'm going to get right into about the Catholic bishop's connection and Pope Francis. And
yeah, this is painful, but it has to be said.
Well, no, it's very. I'm going to make a comment because I get people always say, how do you know that 40% of the USCCB funds derived from federal nonprofit contracts? Because it's the facts. It's right on YouTube. You can check this out. And here's the challenge. Follow the money. And here it is. When you take money from the government, you don't just take money. You take orders.
Terry, one thing I may say before the break is that Donald Trump, he followed into this panic with his Operation Warp Speed.
Sure did.
This is one of the missteps that he took.
He did.
But the only thing that I would say, I think he was
going by the experts.
He was the victim of medical malpractice information.
Yep.
He's not a doctor.
Nope.
He couldn't argue with this guy. If they would, if he would not have listened to what they said, they would have just roasted him in the media.
Hey, what, on what authority? You don't know the knowledge about medical issues.
Hey,
when we come back, we'll have more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't forget, Michael Voris is going to join us in the last segment here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So why all this hoopla about these vaccines? Terry, I'll tell you why. And before you go into the bishop's portion.
Okay, because this was sick.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
It's the left has always been trying to find a way to justify killing babies.
Yep.
Guess what, Terry?
You got it.
By having your friends in China to start unleashing viruses, and then those here in Big Pharma started saying, hey, the only way we can combat these viruses, we have to use, cell lines from the corpses of aborted babies. Now the Democrats and Big Pharma and Big Medicine can walk in and tell President Trump, they're saying, hey, this is necessary in order to save the human race. And so once again, Donald Trump doesn't have a Catholic moral conscience.
Nope.
So when they're saying, hey, we got to use cell lines planted from the corpses of aborted fetuses, he's going to say, hey, do whatever it takes to save the world and stuff. We can't let a mass amount of people die. So, Terry, this was their plan to continue justifying and perpetuating the killing of babies.
Well said. Now, Jesse, this other part about the Catholic bishops, exactly, but Catholic bishops hadn't exactly developed a good working relationship with President Trump. You remember that. He was all upset at Trump because he's putting walls up. Pope Francis he openly hated him, actually, denouncing his moderate immigration stance during the 2016 campaign as unchristian. I remember that. Pre-COVID, some 40%. Now, this is the point, Jess. 40% of the bishops' conference funds derived from federal nonprofit contracts, mostly for processing immigration. With the collapse of weekly donations during the COVID lockdown, that number surely has risen. So here's the bottom line. Follow the money. The government is funding a lot of the church's apostolic work, from immigration to, you name it, feed the poor. So the bishop's bottom line depends on the U.S. failing to control its borders. Jesse, does that hurt to say that? But
they
that's
benefit,
just the facts.
Terry, they benefit from
this open border.
Open borders policy.
Oh, it does.
Bishops,
yeah.
Because they're going to get more money for each immigrant.
Not only that, Jesse, but the bishops will lose, 40% of the native-born Catholics to leaving into apostasy, depending on immigration to fill the empty pews, and at least for a few years before they leave the church as well. Now, I can give you I come from St. Christopher's Church in West Covina. 50, 60 years ago, we came in 58, and it was all Anglo-Saxon. Right now, you can't find somebody like me going to church there because it's all filled up with immigration, Filipino, Korean, Mexican. And here's the point. If we didn't have immigration, let's just be honest, our churches would be empty, Jesse.
Absolutely. But Terry, this is that for every one Catholic that comes into the church, we lose six.
That's a bad ratio, buddy.
This is why they need to keep bringing in illegal immigrants, because again,
terrible.
The Catholics in this country, one or two generations, they become apostates.
Yep.
What does that mean? They reject the faith. Okay. So they need to keep emptying filling the empty pews. So they keep bringing illegal immigrants, not only from Mexico, but from South America as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And other parts of the world that come through Mexico.
Yep.
And so this is a revolving door. But the more illegal immigrants that come in, each one of them represents, Terry, a sizable amount of money for the USCCB. Let me continue with this article. It says, so maybe that's why Trump's White House didn't take the pro-life pleadings of Catholic bishops too seriously. Not seriously enough to inconvenience the folks at big pharma companies who rush forward using the same fetal cell lines they routinely use. Ethics be damned.
Yeah.
Scorned by the White House, the bishops turned around and did nothing. And that was their fatal error.
You got it.
At the same time, a crime and blunder in politics. You don't do things like that if you want to be taken seriously. I mean, can you imagine the LGBT lobby making the major demand of the Biden White House, getting shot down in flames, then meekly shutting up.
No, it's not going to happen.
Of course, that's not going to happen.
Nope.
How about the gay-friendly media
nope.
that would have filled with endless hit pieces about the homophobia in the White House had Biden done something like that?
Not going to happen.
Democrat donors would have melted down the phones of their members of Congress, again, if Biden would have in some way, shape, or form, shot down some type of LGBT program. Drama queens would have staged a massive die-in on the White House lawn, and Biden would have caved in within a week or two. The point that the article's making is that the left screams loud, Terry. There's not many of them, but boy, oh boy, they make the phones burn and they scream loud. But on our side, unfortunately, the bishops folded like a cheap tent in a thunderstorm, along with most of the rest of the pro-life movement. And that's a great way to make sure that no political demand you make will ever be taken seriously again. So on a human level, the pro-life point on the vaccine was catastrophically stupid.
Yep.
Now, as this young guy that worked at the White House, Charles, pointed out, the bishops have actually spun around to make themselves enforcers of coercive vaccination.
It's incredible. What a turnaround from saying, no, we can't do this, to, oh, well, we'll help you do it.
Yeah, now they're using vaccines that they were once denouncing as immoral, not even 2 years ago. So essentially what happened, Caesar told the bishops to jump, and the bishops said, how high, Caesar? Thank you very much. May I have another? Terry.
Jesse, I like the way he said it. They folded like a cheap tent in a thunderstorm.
And now they're working for the enemy.
Exactly.
Get the jab. Yep. Get the vax. Using parishes, Terry, to roll out the jabs.
But I have to say, like, Bishop Joseph Strickland is not part of that. There's several other bishops but not the majority of them fall right in line. And that's a great way to make sure that no political demand you'll make will ever be taken seriously again. You know what it reminds me of, Jesse? A bully. Yeah. The bully comes up to you and says, hey, give me your lunch money. No, that's my money.
And the bishops did, Terry.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. The analogy's kind of limping, but the point of it is they caved in. And unfortunately, we need to pray for them. That's why
Terry, this is a setback for the pro-life movement.
Oh, big time.
I mean, come on. When you look at it with supernatural eyes.
That's right.
The bishops have basically raised a white flag of the pro-life movement to surrender on this vaccine made with fetal aborted cells. This is something, Terry, that for decades we're going to pay for this.
Oh yeah.
And for decades we've called for laws that would prohibit women from aborting their inconvenient children because that would impose quite a burden on some women and probably dried up much of the supply of easy sex for men in America. And feminists have long claimed that huge swaths of the pro-life movement had no skin in the game.
Yeah.
And devout, non-promiscuous Christians, much less celibate bishops, wouldn't pay much of a price for outlawing abortion. So it was easy for us to demand. Well, that wasn't entirely fair, of course, but there was something to the argument.
Yeah.
And by caving in and by becoming vaccination enforcers, our bishops and compliant churches are vindicating the feminists, absolutely, because right here, right now, we do have skin in the game, and if we refuse the abortion vaccination, we could die of COVID, for instance. So in choosing to refuse this immoral vaccine, I've had to ponder that, but also the fact that I likely won't be able to fly real soon on most major airlines, or it seems ever visit my birthplace again, Los Angeles, California. Terry?
Yeah, Jesse, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we need to pray for our bishops to put their big boy pants on and really, as a bishops conference, say, you know what, we don't need your money. And I think that takes trust. It really does. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, yes, we're complaining about it, but we're also praying every single Thursday night from 7 to 9. We're down on our knees before the Blessed Sacrament, praying for our bishops to do the right thing. Yeah. And what is the right thing?
To regain their apostolic courage.
Exactly. Because, Jesse, I have non-Catholics I visit about twice a month I have a breakfast with. And some of them are just good Protestants, okay? They believe in the Bible.
Protestants of goodwill.
Yeah, Protestants of goodwill. And they come to me and say, hey, what's this going on about you guys accepting aborted
babies?
Caving in. They see it for that, Jesse. You know what I tell them?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? You're right. We did. But there's a certain amount of us in the church who realize that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. And so we have a bit of a struggle. That's why you're going to see one bishop complaining about another bishop.
Yep.
And they're fighting. Just what I even explained it to the Protestant guys at a breakfast that Our Lady of Akita in Japan, she professed that this was going to happen. So the point I'm making is this is really hurting evangelization because of scandal.
Yeah, Terry, the federal government plans to use a lot of means of coercion and retaliation against the unvaccinated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Joe Biden is making that very clear. Who knows? Would nonprofit contracts, which is the lifeblood
of the
bishops' conference?
Yep.
I bet Biden told the bishops, if you don't start promoting vaccinations, guess what? Your $90 to $100 million a year, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to withhold this money from your agency.
Money talks.
Because you're refusing abortion-tainted vaccines.
Exactly.
This is why they're talking, Terry.
Yeah.
Now the world's not going to know because our bishops and leaders of other churches fell all over themselves promoting the same vaccine that they once condemned about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But guess what, Terry? Jesus promised us that the world would hate us as it hated him. So bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. If we have to, and like what Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, we have to be willing to die for our faith. Now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Right now. This is a time of martyrdom, Terry. And this is a time right now. Again, don't follow most people over the cliff like the possessed pigs. And, you know,
they
went over the cliff. Don't be a sheeple. Be a follower of Christ. Does that mean we're going to get persecuted? Absolutely. The world hated him. It's going to hate us, Terry.
You know, Jesse, I read a mystic. It said that most people go to hell because of sins of not the flesh, but of sins of omission.
Mm.
I thought, wow, when I read that recently, I said, sins of omission. Are we going to speak up? Is there enough evidence, Jess Romero, Terry Barber, and our listeners, that at our exit interview, our Lord's going to say, okay, I saw what you did, and you stood up for life, you stood up for the family, you stood up for the gospel, or is there enough evidence to say, you said nothing? And I think that is the question right now. We need to stand up. Hey, we've got Mike Vorse coming on. I hear the music. When we come back from our break, he's got his news show every single day, Monday through Friday. You got to hear it. We're going to talk about three separate topics that they're going to be covering for today so that you can tune in every single day on Church Militant. And when we come back, we'll have Mike Vorse on to tell us about that very same thing. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to Terry and Jesse Show. This is one of my favorite segments during the week, Terry. We got the Strength and Honor segment with... We always get high information people from Church Militant because they're all... But today, we got the big guy. The Grand Poobah, Michael Vorse himself. Michael, welcome to the show. What are you going to be talking about tonight? By the way, because of... your evening news and now your information hour, I'm done. I don't even want to mention some of the names. I'm done with the secular media. I don't need that. You provide me everything I need, an hour of good, thoughtful Catholic analysis of the church and the world. I don't need anything else out there. I don't need spin or I don't need a diluted news. So thanks a lot, Mike. You're providing a great service, at least to the Romero household.
And that's exactly why we do it, Jesse, for the Romero household.
Hey, I'll take it.
And the millions of other households just like you guys.
Great.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're blessed, my friend. And you've got some stories that you'd like to share with us. Again, Michael, before you do that, people go to churchmilitant.com to get information, not only the news, but you've got a wealth of other information there too. But I want to get people into what I call a holy habit. What is a holy habit? To study your faith. And this is part of studying your faith to know what's going on. So let's talk about what you're going to do today.
Sure. One of the stories we'll be talking about tonight in the evening news portion of the Catholic Information Hour, thanks for the plug, Jesse, appreciate it, is the communist-friendly bishop who has been appointed in all places of Wuhan. Pope Francis is all down with it. You know, this goes back to the whole horror of this China-Vatican Accord set up by McCarrick under the direction of Pope Francis and Cardinal Parolin as Secretary of State to get all of this stuff put together and be talking about, oh, how great the Chinese are and everything else. Chinese people are awesome. The Communist Party in charge of China, subjecting its own people to slave labor, executions, concentration camps, the whole bit. Yeah, not so good.
No,
but
terrible.
So the part of this accord, Vatican-China accord, a part of it, actually the sort of length and breadth of it, was specifically designed to say the Catholic Church can appoint its bishops as long as we first name them and approve of them. So that's like, That's, you know, it reminds me of the old Henry Ford line, you know, you can have any Model T you want and or whatever color you want as long as it's black. I mean, that's kind of what this is. I mean, the Communist Party is the one that's appointing, choosing the bishops, and then, you know, whatever little ceremony happens to go along with that at the end of the day is just the Vatican giving a rubber stamp on it. But, you know, you can rest assured that the people of the Communist Party are appointing to bishops are not faithful men. They're men faithful to Catholic teaching. That's the whole point of them wanting to have the appointment power.
Michael, here's something very sad. I mean, as Catholics, obviously, as faithful sons of the Church, one of the things that I've read is that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, he's communist friendly. And I say that because there's several articles that you can read that he says of all the professors that he had as he was growing up, he said one of his favorite professors or his favorite professor was a female communist professor. Mm-hmm. And he said, up until a few years ago, I'm not sure she's passed away. He said, we still keep in contact right now. I think he was like two or three years into his papacy. And so I'm not making this up. The Holy Father admits that communism had a powerful influence in his formation. And the way he writes about it and talks about it, it seems like if he tried to syncretize it with Catholicism, which you can't do because 150 popes before him have all denounced socialism. Yeah. And so, again, I just want to throw that out there. This is where he's coming from. He's been formed by some communist professors. And I'm not saying that derisively. I'm just saying that factually.
Just the facts.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah. And of course, the problem with, you know, communism, obviously, on the face of it, is to deny it's an atheistic, right, you know, system. But that's further proof that and it's always the case. It's just how much of a case is in any given papacy or government or whatever that personnel is policy. And when the top guy, in this case, the Pope in the Church, but this could be true of a CEO at some corporation in America or whatever, you know, whoever the top guy or top woman is, they're who they appoint around them and their worldview dictates the direction of that particular organization. Well, and, you know, of course, the Church is standalone there that ultimately it's our blessed Lord because it's his mystical bride. But he doesn't necessarily prevent things from going crazy. He just prevents the Church from going out of existence. But that doesn't mean he steps in the way of, you know, preventing, you know, losers and whatever. He let Judas betray him.
Well said. So, Michael, just to confirm what you're saying, Monsignor George Kelly wrote a book years ago, Where's the Church Going? Where its leaders take them, the battle for the American Church. So you're saying what you're saying is absolutely true. And that's why another element here tomorrow, tomorrow's Thursday. Every Thursday we pray for the Pope, the bishops before the Blessed Sacrament on our knees every Thursday night. Why? Because we want to have prayer power for them because they need it, because they're disappointing us. Let's just be honest, everybody. They are disappointing us. Michael, you have another topic that's very disappointing for me as a Catholic to see what Pope Francis is doing. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, this will be another one we'll be talking about tonight in the Info Hour. It's that he is calling the abortion-tainted vaccines. I hate calling them vaccines because they're not. It's just a short way of saying that's experimental gene therapy.
Yep.
But that just gets becomes a mouthful after a while. So
right.
Just call them.
I hear
you. But they're not vaccines. But, you know, the fact is, you know, look, we all know that at some stage of development of all these major ones, either in the research or the, you know, production or whatever it was, somewhere in that mix at various stages, the aborted fetal cell line research came into play, which taints these vaccines. And for Pope Francis to come out and say the vaccines are a sign of hope,
oh, painful.
I, it's just, you know, you think to yourself, wow, are you, you know, it's, I got to say, just on a personal note here, this is not church militants' opinion. This is just, we're just talking here.
That's right.
I've got to wonder if there isn't somebody controlling Pope Francis. The push, the constant push for all of the talking points. I mean, we just talked about, you know, appointing bishops. He's just rubber stamping what the, you know, Chinese commies are doing.
Yeah.
And now here he is rubber stamping what the globalist commies are doing.
Right.
So it kind of makes you wonder, like, what's going on here? You know, it, you know, so, you know, every now and then he says something bad about or something good about some bad thing. I don't know, you know, child slavery or something. Well, whoop-de-doo. You know, I mean, you know, that's a, in news, we call that a story of dog bites man. Nobody repeats it or reports it because it's just understood. People go to the grocery store and guess what? They buy groceries. That's not a news story. The Pope coming out condemning child trafficking is not a story. Of course he's supposed to do that. That's why so often, you know, when you look back on the past papacies here, Benedict, Pope Benedict and Pope St. John Paul, and, you know, the only news they ever made was how much they were upsetting the apple cart of theological dissidents and heretics and all of that. But, you know, nobody ever reported on anything the popes ever said, those popes ever said, because there was nothing to report. You know, our, the Holy Father, you know, prays and, you know, offers, you know, prayers and respect, et cetera, to our Blessed Mother. Ooh, that's not a news story. I mean, it's a nice, warm, the cockles of your heart story. It's a devotional thing,
what
but it's not a news story. But Pope Francis is in the news every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, from Pachamama to this to that to, you know, we reported on him yesterday at the signing that climate change document. You know, it was one of the first stories we reported in the debut of Catholic Info Hour. So none of this stuff is, you're like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? Because this is not Pope news. Yeah. This is globalist communist news.
Let me mention, Mike, St. Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. In some way, shape, or form, there's big money coming into the Vatican. And so you need to please your benefactors. So you're going to have to tailor your message. What you just said, I believe that a lot of his messages are influenced and impelled by the fact that there are big money donors giving to the Vatican to sustain this the operation of the church. And so in order for him as a CEO, basically, he has to basically throw them, he's got to throw them a red meat every now and then. And that's, I think that's what we're seeing here.
Michael, before you comment on that, because I want to get to the third topic also, you've already given stories about the money coming from China to the Vatican, okay?
Yeah.
So this is not surprising. I mean, follow the money, but also maybe another time you can talk a little. No, I want to get your third topic, and before we run out of time, I apologize. Give me your third topic to tease us, please.
Sure, yeah. One of the ones, another story we'll be talking about tonight is that, you know, is it a coincidence that the day the Supreme Court of Mexico essentially has their Roe v. Wade, I mean, it wasn't exactly that, but close enough,
right,
decriminalizes abortion,
right,
and a massive earthquake hits off the coast near Acapulco.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't know. We're not saying God did this, but, you know, nature does rebel against the unnatural, and
absolutely,
hacking children up in the womb and sucking them out through a razor blade-tipped vacuum cleaner, that's pretty unnatural.
Yeah, you think? The last thing I want to mention is the connection with Perón, the politician in South America and Argentina. He had a powerful influence with Pope Francis. I don't think we have enough, we can say enough about, you know, have the communist influence, but Perón is the guy that said, to your friends, everything, to your enemies, nothing.
Right. Now, I you know, his connection or admiration or, you know, growing up and breathing the air of, you know, of the Perón time in Argentina, you know, it's really difficult to not be influenced by it. I mean, look, we're all of the same age that we can remember the atmosphere, the environment of the air in the United States when Ronald Reagan was president.
I remember.
I mean, you know, it's all the Patriot and all that stuff. The same thing could be said of the air that you breathed when Trump was president.
Yeah, that's true.
There was, you know, all of this, you know, media hatred and, you know, the political division. Every one of these political environments that the common people, like all of us and your viewers and everybody, we just grow up in as citizens, it influences you. It kind of directs your thoughts. It leads you a certain way, just like in the church. So yeah, it's a very interesting. It's very interesting. You know, Perón was not a good man, and this is the guy who the Pope Francis looked up to, and with some of these communist professors.
Just the facts. Michael Voris from Church Militant. Thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't forget, folks, get to see his news Monday through Friday, every single day. High information.
The Info Hour.
The Info Hour. You got to get it. ChurchMilitant.com. Michael, thanks again for joining us, my friend. God love you.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Live in the state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Pray your rosary every single day. Read your Bible. Be holy or die trying.
Amen.
As St. Peter said in Acts 2:40, flee this corrupt generation.
Don't forget, we got the conference coming up on the 18th of September on True Devotion to St. Joseph. Go to vmpr.org to check us out or call 877-526-2115. God bless you.